I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome in, Jones and Keefe. Obviously, this is Adam Jones, just with a cold. This is Megan Ottolini, joined by John Lyons. We're going to be filling in for the rest of the week as the boys take off after an incredibly successful Jimmy Fund. I'm just chatting with some people in the building. I know we passed the $5.7 million mark for the Jimmy Fund, the 23rd annual, which is incredible, John Lyons. But money is still trickling in. We might go even higher. We might be looking closer to that $6 million range.
Yeah, just a fantastic couple days, Mego. Obviously, the telethon itself is always a powerful couple days, but 5.7 million. It's incredible. I remember listening on Monday and I'm like, well, Rob Hale's going to match at 1 million. Can they get to 2 million at the end of the day? Then maybe 3 or 4 by the end of Tuesday. And then I'm watching the Red Sox last night and they're, 5.7 million. New record. I was blown away last night. It was just really, really awesome to see.
Yeah, it's wild. I had a great opportunity to have a panel with Alex Cora and Joe Mazzulla yesterday. So if you want to seek that out on your Odyssey app or on the WEEI YouTube channel, definitely worth looking at. But so much awesome stuff from the last 2 days. So many incredible stories that we got to hear from. I mean, there's no way to really nicely transition out of that because that's a great effort that we make with the Red Sox. Last night, I don't know if it was for lack of effort because Aroldis Chapman gave you a real chance there and your brand new Red Sox player gave you a real chance there. But other than that, what a dreadful game to go extra innings into the 11th inning, 3 straight innings that you load the bases and you can't get one of these guys in. Who are these Red Sox? What happened to these Red Sox? We looked at these series and said Marlins, Orioles, like you guys should be winning these series, if not outright getting a couple sweeps here. And now we're sitting here staying up late for last night and they can't get any of these guys in, John Lyons.
And it all started to go downhill in the second half of that game on Saturday, right? They have a blowout that they make close, then they blow Sunday. And then Monday, Trevor Rogers.
They did blow. Yeah.
Trevor Rogers is an elite pitcher. Monday, maybe he got it, but then they blow yesterday's game. I mean, you look at last night's game, it's kind of been when they've lost these frustrating games, Mego, it's kind of the same thing. Like the top of the fifth inning, you have a leadoff double, then a walk, you pull Buehler, but then you give up run inherited runners score, right? Like this has been when they've had these losses, because I think last night, arguably one of their top three most frustrating losses of the year. Like July 2nd against Cincinnati last night. You could pick another one if you want. I mean, you could pick Sunday if you want. I was there for that, and that was pretty brutal to be a part of. But the way last night ended, especially, right? You have the bases loaded in three consecutive innings. You get no runs out of any of those situations. It's just a huge missed opportunity, really, because if they're going to be a real playoff team, right? Because we talked after the deadline, hey, they didn't really add anyone, and they've actually gotten a couple good starts out of Dustin May, but they didn't really add anyone. Can they keep up with Seattle? Can they keep up with the Yankees? If you're going to do that, you need to take advantage of a schedule that's one of the easiest in the league the rest of the way. And really, unfortunately, so far they haven't done that.
Yeah, everything was lined up for them last night. If you look at who we've thought these Red Sox are, so they're at home, they're in Fenway, especially when they start getting into those late innings and they're loading the bases, they're going against guys who are in their late 20s. But because of the state of the Orioles and how many arms they moved, because they're a team that was going nowhere very early in the season, and so they sold big before the deadline, you're really seeing like these AAA pitchers late in the game, and you might be concerned about your own bullpen. Like, that's, I totally get that because it's been tough recently. But at the same time, like, you had the encapsulation last night of everything that has gone wrong with this team at different points in the season. So you have Walker Buehler getting yanked early because Alex Cora doesn't trust him. Even though he's had some good outings, he starts to look more like the Walker Buehler from back in June. And then you have runners loaded on the bases, just completely stranded, unable to execute three innings in a row. And you have Aroldis Chapman out there being nails as usual, but you can't take advantage of it. And on top of it all, you have a questionable in-game management situation that we'll get to, but that is one of these areas where I'm sure Alex Cora is frustrated because he's going, you guys are picking on one thing in the 11th inning, and I'm going to sit here and defend it to death because there were so many other opportunities to win, but you didn't win, and it's against the Orioles, a team who's going nowhere. Now you face the Yankees. You have a four-game series in the Bronx, and you got to go out there and at least split it, if not win that series, to get yourselves back on track. Like, I'm not worried about them losing a wild card position, but I am worried about the focus of the team if they can't execute against the Marlins and the Orioles when the game is sitting on a platter for them.
And the one that stands out to me the most, obviously there's that 11th inning situation where they don't send Nate Eaton on what would have been a sac fly to tie the game. But the 8th inning, you load the bases with nobody out, and then you don't even put the ball in play. Duran strikes out, Yoshida, Story, three in a row. You don't even put the ball in play for any of that. Like, to me, that was the one that stood. And I know you loaded the bases in the 9th and 10th, but in the 8th, you're trailing, you load them with nobody out. And this is a situation where you go back to the Marlins game Friday night when they're able to get it in that situation and they come through. Trevor Story has the walk-off, and they've come through in the late innings so many times at Fenway this year, and to not do it against a team that really, at a minimum, you should have split this series with the Orioles, as you said, if not won both. And now you have the off day today. You head into a Yankee series this weekend where if you had won both against the Orioles or two out of these last three games, you could have split with the Yankees and felt okay overall. Now, if you split with the Yankees after this, you're not really feeling that much better about kind of where you're at as you head in towards the end. We're already almost at the end of August here.
Right. So here's what our own Rob Bradford, who was there last night, wrote about the game. He said, the Red Sox loaded the bases for three straight innings against the Orioles without scoring a single run. Walker Buehler went just four innings, having now pitched five or fewer innings in nine starts. And the sellout Fenway Park crowd, by the way, have you heard about that enough?
Yeah.
How they're selling out Fenway again? The sellout Fenway Park crowd was ultimately left with a whole lot of frustration after Baltimore punctuated its two-game sweep with a 4-3 11-inning win over the Sox. There was third baseman Kyle Hudson choosing not to send Nate Eaton from third base with one out in the 11th inning on Roman Anthony's fly ball. There was the sudden inability to win close games, going 8-11 since the All-Star break in decisions of three runs or less. And perhaps above all, there was having to wake up knowing the Yankees were on top of you in the standings by a full game. So I want to go to that decision that is now being put on Kyle Hudson. I mean, he says he's the one who was in the air there saying go or don't go with the Nate Eaton play. So You have this fly ball. Nate Ian has, and I'm struggling with the pronunciation because whenever
but they put him in as a pinch runner at the start of the inning too.
And he's got great speed. He ranks 95th percentile in sprint speed. He's been successful on 17 of 19 stolen base attempts in the majors. And then on the other side, you have Orioles center fielder Colton Cowser, who ranks in the 95 percentile in arm strength among major league fielders. He's got a weak arm.
Yeah.
So you decide that you're not going to challenge him. Here's what Alex Hoare was asked about after the game and his explanation. If we have that, Billy.
Stand by.
All right. We are efforting to get that. A few tech issues. I know Chris Cotillo asked him about a post game and was basically, the answer was, we have a scouting report on this and we made that decision well before the situation. I think that was just Cora being stubborn.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, okay, you have a scouting report, but like Dave O'Brien and Lou on the broadcast, they were saying, hey, this guy doesn't have a good arm. Like, if they know that, why don't you have that information? And why wouldn't you make a similar judgment? Like, again, as you just laid out the numbers. You pinch ran Nate Eaton specifically to score. Mm-hmm. Like, it just didn't make sense to me to know. It's not like it was some shallow fly ball. Like, it was deep enough that you could score on that play.
All right, here's Cora postgame.
That's an impact arm in center field. We prepare before the series, and we decide who we're going to challenge or not. So we didn't challenge him.
Does that mean Eaton's call to stop, or is Hudson telling him?
We prepare before the series, and that's an impact arm, and we decided not to challenge him.
That's an impact arm. Just repeating the answer because don't want to go further. Do you think he just knows he's wrong and he's being a little Belichicky in there and he doesn't want to admit that it was a wrong call there?
Feels that way a little bit, right? And if you look at the way they've lost the last few games, right? If go back to Saturday, right, he has to put Chapman in so then he can't use him on Sunday, even though it was only four pitches on Saturday. They don't use Chapman. They blow that game with Steven Matz, by the way, who they got at the trade deadline. And then you lose on Monday, and then you have this, like, I think there's some frustration built up there, and I think he looks at, because also Cora probably looks at it as well, you know, I didn't strike out three times in a row with the bases loaded, but he did screw up that. I felt like he did screw up that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
I think there's
a
lot of built-up frustration there.
Okay, a great stat I just want to throw out here from our old friend Brian Barrett, who works for The Ringer now. He says, last three games for the Red Sox, runners in scoring position, 3-28.
Yeah, and they're
so I understand
in that, and
like,
the last three games have been bad.
Cora doesn't want this one instance in the 11th inning to be singled out, but would you rather the focus just be on how bad that is? Like, we're going to look at the whole picture, but when you're 3-28 with runners in scoring position, to me, it's almost like you got to execute more on those specifics. Like, if you have a chance because you're so incapable overall in this one aspect of the game right now, like, not even mentioning the situation with the bullpen and your low leverage guys and how bad it's been there, and Walker Buehler not being able to go as far as you'd like him to and having to turn to that bullpen, isn't that more of a reason to focus on that one play and say you could have at least gotten the tie there and put us into more extra innings, or maybe you'd load up the bases more and we'd get even more frustrated, but at least you'd give yourself another chance?
Yeah, and the runners in scoring position thing is interesting to me because in early June, they were 22nd batting average with runners in scoring position, and they jumped all the way up to 13th over the last couple months. So they've been much better with runners in scoring position, but then all of a sudden, as you mentioned recently, three for their last 28. So is this just, hey, a temporary slump, or is there some issue they had early in the season that's kind of creeping back in? And part of this may go, too, is they are relying on a lot of young players in key spots. And young players, as we know, there can be inconsistencies there. Even someone as good as Roman Anthony, right? And he's been great, but there still will probably be some inconsistencies
there.
But isn't
that the point of having the coach, Kyle Hudson, to say, you got to go here?
Yeah,
hey, kid, you're fast. This guy's got a weak arm out there. Go, take off.
Yeah, and even some of these other guys they're relying, like, and I'm a big Rafaela guy. He didn't play last night because he's had so many struggles. They're moving him all over the place, which, by the way, if you look up his batting average at second base is over 100 points lower than when he's in the outfield. Like, I think it makes a difference. and Abreu, who also didn't play last night because he's injured. Like, they're relying on so many of these young guys in key spots. So you're right, when they have an opportunity, especially after you blow the bases loaded three innings in a row, you finally have an opportunity to get a run in. And again, it's not like this was some pop out to shortstop or a shallow fly ball. It was a medium range fly ball to center field. Like, you should be able to, if you're as fast as Nate Eaton, who they put in as a pinch runner, you should be able to score on that play.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're in there for. So I don't know if who the mistake was on. I see some on the text line saying, hey, he's just protecting his coach. I'm guessing that's Alex Cora talking about Kyle Hudson. How can they look at him as having an impact arm when Lou, our own Lou Marlone, flat out said that guy does not have a good arm. Cora is flat out lying there. Yeah. Like, I think maybe it's somewhere in the middle of him protecting the coach and just saying like, oh, no, guys, we did our scouting report. But in a way, to me, that makes it seem even worse, because it's like, we did our research on this guy. We know he has a bad arm. We know our kid is faster. But we've just decided that in the moment, we're just not going to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And again, it feels like to me that they just not only made the wrong judgment, but rather than come out and say we made the wrong judgment, Cora's going this track to either protect the third base coach or his own judgment, whatever it may be. Because like the texter said, Dave O'Brien and Lou are sitting there on the broadcast saying, man, this guy does not have a good arm. It was just weird. Like, and that's one of those situational things. Like, you can even go back to Sunday, not pitching Chapman. Like, I understand you don't want to use Chapman 3 days in a row, but like, he threw four pitches the day before, and you can say, hey, we're not going to use a Monday and we have a day off Wednesday anyway. Like, sometimes I think they don't do enough of that situational push and pull, where you just kind of, sometimes you have to make a non-analytic-y call, I know it's not a word, but in a situation to do the right thing to help you win.
We get what you're saying. Non-analytic-y. I'm not going to put this on Chapman or like if they should have pushed him further, because I think he gave you the shot that he was supposed to. Like, he did his job. Everybody else needs to start doing with a little bit of what they're supposed to do. We're going to continue our Red Sox talk on the other side. If you want to join in, the number is 617-779-7937. You can join us on the text line or you can call into the show. We're going to continue talking Alex Cora on the other side. One writer in town says Alex Cora is a rare thing in the MLB. He's a difference maker in the dugout. Well, either he or Kyle Hudson were to some extent last night. We'll talk Alex Cora after this, along with your thoughts on the Red Sox after losing to the Marlins, losing to the Orioles late last night. If you stayed up for that game in extra innings, we're going to hit all of that.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music,
or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
0 for 11 with runners in scoring position. You don't need a hit to tie the game here. 2-0, the pitch. Swing and a high fly into shallow center field. Will they test it? Eaton's at third. Kowser makes the catch. Nate is coming home. Throw is wide. He stops, and he will not score. What in the world? I think he's arguing that the third baseman, Vasquez, blocked his path to the baseball. I don't know. That was not well played by Kowser. Obviously, hindsight 20/20. I know you got Bregman up. I'd have been tempted there.
When Will says what in the world, it's like the equivalent of what the F.
Yeah.
That's what I hear there.
And that's another side. Like, I forgot about that, but like how bad the throw was. And I know you don't know that ahead of time, but that just adds insult to injury.
But the only thing they know ahead of time is that Alex Bregman is coming up. So they're like, okay, we'll just wait for Bregman. Bregman will be our hero. He'll bring us in. We don't need, like, why is Nate Eaton out there if he's not going to go in a situation like that? It's inexplicable to me. It had to just be like a total miscommunication to the point where I feel like Kyle Hudson had to like misidentify the guy who was in center field. I can't think of another explanation for it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And
it's too stupid.
You made the point. Like, why else is Nate Eaton on the team? Like, for those situations, he's such a good base runner and he's so fast that, like, that's why he's there. Like, think about all the trouble they've had. Like, he doesn't play the field, right? He's not really in the lineup. Like, he's there for situations like
that. The guy does one thing, he runs.
Yeah, and they got him in the situation, right? They got him to third with a fly ball, and then they don't score. And look, there's no guarantee they win the game if he scores.
No, but you give yourself another chance.
Exactly.
And now, this is what I'm saying, where, like, the bigger issue is loading the bases 3 innings in a row and not being able to bring anybody home. That's obviously the bigger issue. There are bigger issues. Are we picking on this one call? Yeah, because it's stupid. And when you can't do the other big stuff and the big picture stuff isn't working, isn't this where the manager is supposed to make a difference? Isn't this where the scouting staff is supposed to make a difference? Isn't this where the Red Sox, because of the level of organization that they are, supposed to be above the Orioles, above the Marlins, especially on top of the talent that you have is above theirs? Like, that's where it's irritating to me. And I think with Alex Cora's post-game comments, he knows all of that, and he's going the Belichick route because he's like, what can I say, man? Like, there was a big mistake there.
He has to talk to the media 162 times, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. But, like, especially because you mentioned those earlier innings, like the eighth, you load the bases with nobody out, and then you don't even put the ball in play. 3 straight strikeouts. And then in the ninth, you get the Nathaniel Lowe home run, and you load the bases after the home run. Like, everything's going your way. You get this by a new guy. You get this home run to tie the game. Here you are, ready to walk it off, bases loaded, and you get, I mean, I guess the ball at least gets put in play this time, but you get a ground out. And then in the 10th, you load them for a third time, obviously, and get nothing. It's just to get no runs out of that situation, in a weird way, Mago, you could almost feel some mistake like that in the 11th coming. Like, you know, you load it, you don't get anything. You load the base here. Like, at some point, like, all right, they're going to screw this up.
I thought you were going to say it in a weird way. Like, you have to, you almost respect it because it feels like analytically, Like, it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
Like, how often does that happen?
Yeah, they'll win a prize at the analytics award. Out there. The Sloan Sports Conference is going to talk about how they loaded the bases three times and didn't score.
If you have in your records another instance when this has happened in recent baseball history, please let us know, because I want to know how difficult it is to actually do that three innings in a row. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join our show today. Mego and Lyons filling in for Jones and Keith. We're talking Red Sox. We're talking the loss last night. Why can't they get any of these runs in when the bases are loaded? It's just the dismal thing that we're watching. The bullpen also equally questionable, especially your low leverage guys. We're going to get to some Patriots talk because they had their final preseason game on Thursday. And I've been there for just about every damn day of training camp practice. And on top of that, because it is Jones and Keefe and the guys are out and I want to keep some semblance of their show, we're going to do a Tier Tuesday on a Wednesday. Because we had the wonderful Jimmy Fun, which was a great success over the last 2 days. But I want to do a Tier Tuesday on a Wednesday because it's something that I saw in the news that involves a former Patriot. A lot of it made me laugh a lot and took me back to my childhood. So we're going to do a Tier Tuesday. That's going to happen, I believe, in my own schedule. I put it at noon. So you can look forward to that. But first, let's get to some of your phone calls before we get into a piece that I want to dissect about Alex Cora, the difference maker in the dugout. Let's go to Nate in Easton. This confused me because I was thinking of Nate Eaton, but it is Nate in Easton, and I'm going to pull you up right here. You want to talk about last night's Sox loss, Nate?
Yeah, and if I was Nate Eaton, I would have went on that fly ball by Roman Anthony.
Yeah, me too.
That throw would have had to have been on the money too, knowing that he has a weak arm. Even if it's towards the left-hander's batter's box, Nate Eaton sliding to the outside, getting his hand in there, but I also want to talk about Trevor Story in the ninth inning, bases loaded. The pitcher just threw about 12 balls, maybe two strikes. First pitch, he's swinging at a changeup below the zone. All right. He gets two more balls thrown. And then 2-1, you got to look for something you can drive with two outs. He's flailing at a slider outside of the zone, rolling over to third base. Think he went up with no approach. And does that come back to Alex Cora management? Like, these guys look like they had no approach with bases loaded or anything.
Thanks, Nate. Yeah, I think it's fair that the execution at the plate late in the game last night, even before you went to the extra innings in the eighth and the ninth, and the Orioles, again, are trotting out guys who they've pushed up from the minor league teams because they have sold off so many of their guys. That's the other side of this, is like you were able to keep loading the bases in part because they had these kind of soft guy. I don't mean soft like they're not competitive or they're not tough, but they're a softer target in terms of a pitcher than you're going to see against the Yankees. And you were able to take advantage and load the bases, but you couldn't execute. Does that come back to the drive line stuff? Does that come back to the coaching staff? I do think that some of the stuff comes back to the coaching staff, John Lyons.
And I would even add Connor Wong's strikeout in the ninth inning, the second and third strikes, he's swinging at balls out of the zone, right? Like, again, and this is something the Red Sox have been okay at this year. Like, they've drawn 413 walks. That's 12th in the majors. A lot of that is Roman Anthony, by the way, since the All-Star break, top five in walks drawn in the majors. So he's been great. But yeah, it goes back to, and you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, those key situations, the runners in scoring position, the late games where so many times this year they've been good, but it's really escaped them over the past week and a half or so. I mean, I know they had the walk-off Friday night, but outside of that, a lot of situations. I mean, last night, I think it was 13 men left on base. They might have been 0 for 13 with runners in scoring position. I got to double-check, but it's like those types of situations. And we saw it from the pitching staff on Sunday, late-game situations don't execute. We saw it from the lineup last night. And they've had a lot of these games, Mego, where if you look at it on the surface, they're fourth in the MLB in runs, which is good. But how many times have they had games where they score 10 runs, 12 runs? I mean, they had the game against the Cardinals where they scored 18. They had a game against Baltimore, they scored 19. And then they have all these other games where it's you lose 4-3 or 3-1. Or so, like, they've wasted two quality starts by Dustin May, of all people, in the last week.
So, you can't waste those Dustin May starts,
and they wasted
guys.
A good
we
crochet
don't know how
start
many,
on Sunday.
We don't know how many. Okay, the crochet starts, you can depend on those.
True.
The Dustin May starts, you don't know what those are going to be like going forward, so you can't waste the quality ones.
You've gotten two of them in a row, and you've wasted both.
So I also have a question about Rico Garcia, So we were watching last night, my husband and I, and the guy's stuff was good. And as the Orioles bring him out there for one inning, they're like listing every other team in the major leagues who he's pitched for this season. I believe he was with the Mets last year, and then he goes to the Yankees this year, and then he goes back to the Mets, and now he's with the Orioles, and the stuff was good last night. And so I'm like, what's the story with this guy? He's 31 years old. He's just kind of like a journeyman guy. But again, an example of one of these guys who you're going up against late in the game, and he just strikes out three straight. And so, do you think that that's about, it's not about the talent on your team. I don't want to hear about the front office, because you went out and got guys like Alex Bregman, and you're developing guys like Roman Anthony, who's pretty great right away. But is it the approach at the plate? Because you shouldn't be making this guy look like their Aroldis Chapman.
And if you look at in the bottom of the eighth, the three guys that struck out, like Jaron Duran is one of your better players. Trevor Story is, you know, arguably your team MVP, but a high price guy. And Yoshida's a guy you pay a lot of money to. Like, it's not like it was.
I like that that's Yoshida's, that's his qualifications.
You do
it's like, well, you know, Trevor Story's had a great season. Alex Bregman, he was one of your big free, you know, who you brought in and everybody wants to extend. And, well, Masa, you paid a lot of money to.
Which you did.
So he should do something at the plate here.
You would hope.
Because he can't be in the field.
And I'm pretty sure that strikeout.
At what point is that money paying back?
And that strikeout last night, I think, moved him to 0-for-4 on the night in that at bat. And that's the thing, too. Like, you look at this lineup. And Roman Gonzalez has two hits. Roman Anthony has two hits. And Connor Wong has two hits. By the way, Connor Wong has not been good this year, but gets two hits last night. But then a bunch of other guys, zeros up there. And I think that's been some of the issue in some of these games where one or two guys, like even down in Houston, Bregman had home runs in back-to-back games. But then you had other guys putting up zeros. Like you had the 14. That's another one, like I mentioned earlier. You had a 14-run game in Houston. And then you lost two other games where you had trouble scoring. Like, that's been, I think, the issue here with this team is they've just been, the raw numbers look good.
No, you can't look at, like, the scoring differential. Yeah. You can't, to me, because you have some of these games where you're almost, like, so bloated.
Yeah. Or you're beating the Rockies 10-1.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Or we all know the 10-game win streak, which I'm not going to take away from a 10-game win streak. That's a feat that you hadn't been able to have for several years, and you deserve credit for it. But if you're looking at the raw numbers, as you said, Lions, like, you might be a little misguided, because in the late game situational stuff, as Rob Bradford wrote, you're 8-11 since the All-Star break in decisions of 3 runs or less. So what's that about? You can't execute late in these games. Last night you gave yourself 3 different opportunities to just end it. You pushed, and you weren't able to get there. Let's take a couple calls here. 617-779-7937. If you want to text into the show, if you want to call into the show, let's go to Wally in Fall River. How you doing, Wally?
What's up, guys? You know, last night's game, how we scored our runs. We scored one run on a balk, then Lowe bailed us out in the ninth inning with the 2 run. Otherwise, we wouldn't have got shut out. But this was a very aggravating game last night, guys. That's hard to do, leave all our men on base in 3 innings. But we just can't hit a fly ball when we need it. I mean, it is what it is. Everybody looks alike. I mean, they better wake up going into Yankee Stadium, or they're going to either get swept or lose 3 out of 4. But, you know, like you guys said, you didn't have Willie Mays out there, and it was just Colton Cowser. You have to take a chance. But these guys, as far as batting, they're not good with situational hitting. I mean, you'd think out of all them opportunities, you'd score at least 2 runs, but it didn't happen. But like you said, it's very deceiving with these runs. They can score 10 runs in the one game, and the next game will score 1 runner, and then the next 2 games. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens in New York. We've got a lot of left-handed hitters. Let's hope they can take advantage of that short porch.
Thank you, Wally.
So one
great
thing
call.
I want to add to that,
well,
too.
Well, Ken confirmed Colton Cowser is not Willie Mays. So that, I don't know if that was on the scouting report.
That's
but
true.
That, maybe it was the wrong scouting report, but Wally's right. Do you think that they're going to lose 3 out of 4 to the Yankees?
I think it does. I don't feel like they have Crochet and Bayo going in 2 of those games. I'd like to think they'd win those,
too. I think
they're
going to split it.
But to his point about, like, you score on a balk and a homer last night, like Sunday against the Marlins, remember Willy Abreu's home run, the right fielder hit the wall and the ball came out of his glove. Like, you were close to having zero or one runs in that game too. So it is an issue they've had with these, like, they'll pile up these runs, right? And I was wrong earlier. They did win the quality start of May in Houston. That was the 14-run game. But then, again, they have these other games where it's two runs, three, struggling to get three or getting one, and that's what's been hurting them in these games that, again, as we talked about earlier, these are the games that if you're going to be a real-deal playoff team, you should be winning two out of these three games, not losing three in a row.
Do you think they are?
I do think they're a playoff team.
Well, what defines a real-deal playoff team?
Like a team that can compete in the ALDS. Like, you either win the ALDS or lose a close ALDS. And this looks like a team that will get in, and then in that first-round wild card series, whatever they call it, they won't win that series.
That's the thing is, like, everybody likes to say, hey, baseball, we know how it is when you get to the postseason. When you get to the postseason, you give yourself a chance. You just have to get in, and then you can win. I don't know if we've seen a ton from this team that suggests that situationally they are that kind of team.
Yeah,
I know we've had, like, walk-off heroics. Don't get me wrong with that. There have been really fun moments throughout the season of this team, but especially since the All-Star break, it does feel like some of the situational stuff is questionable. And some of the games, last night's not representative to me of a playoff game because it's against the Orioles and, like, a quarter of their team is gone after the trade deadline. But situationally, are you making the right calls to give yourself the edge there? And I don't think so.
And what did we talk about at the All-Star break, right? That 9-game stretch against the World Series contenders, the Cubs, the Phillies, the Dodgers. And then they had another one of those stretches with Houston and San Diego. So they played 18 games, Mego, against teams that I think are legit World Series contenders. And they went 9-9 in those 18 games, which I think that's not bad. Like, you can 9-9 against legit World Series contenders. I know they had that crazy ending in the Philly game with the catcher interference, and they should have won that Saturday night against San Diego. I know. But if you go 9-9 against World Series contenders, then you should be able to build on that by taking two out of three, at least from the Marlins, and at a minimum splitting with Baltimore. And then next week, when they have the four games against Baltimore, winning three out of those four. And instead of them building on it, it feels like they're kind of just treading water at best, which not only hurts them in the standings, obviously, but it doesn't really make you feel that good on August 20th about how they're going to fare going into September.
Right, because some of this is the momentum. Like, what direction are you moving in? What kind of team are you? And the team, to me, has been inconsistent. Like, not series to series. It's not that dramatic. It's been like that at times in the last couple seasons with a Cora team. It's more like they pull off these, like, chunk series where they feel really good, and especially when they're at home at Fenway. Oh my God, they're selling out the park again. Everybody's so amped. And then the air comes out of the balloon. And it feels like one of those moments where the air is coming out of the balloon. But why is that? We want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. On the other side, I keep promising this, but I do want to get to this conversation about Alex Cora. And is he a difference maker in the dugout? Something that one writer in the area says is very rare in today's MLB. And does a difference maker mean he's winning games for you?
No.
Or do we also put that responsibility, that onus on him the other way in a game like last night? We'll hit that right after this quick break.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I know I keep teasing this Alex Cora conversation I want to have, but I totally miss this Shawn Lyons. You see this video? It's now made TMZ Sports. This video of Jaren Duran yelling at a fan last night. I did not catch this on the broadcast.
He's good for one of those a year.
This is tough. I'm not going to repeat what the lip readers think he said, but it was directed at a fan, Jaren Duran, last night, saying something with some expletives in it. I'll leave it at that. This is a bad look. This is a bad look after striking out. Like, I mean, it's a bad look in general. This, I guess it happened at the bottom of the eighth inning. Again, didn't catch this on the broadcast. I'm a really bad lip reader. Anytime they have a shot of the Crafts, for example, in their luxury box.
In the high chairs.
And somebody's saying, this guy can't coach or something. I can't read any of that. Not a good context clues person. But this is not what you want from Jaren Duran. I think a lot of fans were happy that he stuck around after the trade deadline because they like him and they like the journey he's been on and his vulnerability and everything. But like, ooh, if you want to Google this for yourself, because I'm certainly not saying anything close to these words on the radio. That's a tough look if that's what he said.
Yeah, that's what producer Billy Lanny called me off the air anyway. But I, look, every once in a while, I like when an athlete will stick up for themselves, because you know some fans say some like terrible stuff, right, as we know. But like Duran in this situation, especially after what happened, what was it, last year with what he said to the fan? It wasn't Tuesday. Not the guy, like, you got to be smarter than that.
He's got to be like, careful, man. Like, I think he's just like really gets really emotional. And last night was frustrating for fans, so I can't imagine how frustrating it is for players, especially if you're Nate Eaton and you want to actually like use your
score.
Speed.
Yeah.
But this is not good. I don't think he's going to get any kind of like fine or suspension, but it's just a tough look for Jaren Duran.
Yeah. And I think he's a player that sometimes frustration will build up on him. And he's not having nearly as good of a year as he had last year. So I think there's some frustration built up. And he needs a more productive outlet than swearing at fans to get it out there. Again, like I said, once in a while, in a rare case, I will like it when an athlete or coach will go at a fan, but not this situation and not him after his history.
Yeah, I guess like overall,
it's his history.
To me, it's really a Duran thing. Overall, if a player gets in a back and forth with a fan, and it doesn't really, I don't think that's a big deal. But with him, because of his history, it just suggests to me that like maybe he's feeling it a little bit. And yeah. maybe he's I don't want to say, I don't want to like step out of line here.
No, but just,
he
feels
can't
like...
be shouting. If he shouted with the lip readers, again, I don't have that talent, with the lip readers and TMZ Sports thinks that he shouted at fans, don't do that. Come on, man. We kept you around here after the trade deadline. Don't be a blockhead. This is a bad look.
Watch your profanity.
Exactly. Please watch the profanity with the fans.
Yeah. And again, it's also like his history here, right? Like it's not a one-off thing. There's been issues before. And as I said, I wonder if there's built-up frustration. It's a guy that a year ago was the All-Star Game MVP, led baseball in doubles and triples, hit like 282, I think it was. Now he's having a sub, by his standards, and especially compared to last year, a subpar season. And he hasn't been awful, but not nearly what he was last year. And you wonder if there's some built-in frustration. I mean, there was talk before the year, Mego, that, hey, this dude could be a top 20 player in baseball. And last, you know, All-Star Game MVP, all that. And he hasn't been nearly that guy. So I wonder if some of that is built up, and now it's affecting him directly on the, like, this is a symptom of deeper built-up frustration.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've been teasing this, so I do want to hit it. And we see your phone calls. We'll get to you because I think one caller in particular will want to address this. For one, Chris Gasper from the Boston Globe, he says that Alex Cora, Red Sox manager Alex Cora, is still a difference maker in the dugout. So I wonder if our listeners and you, John Lyons, agree with this. He writes, and in an age where managers have been de-emphasized, Alex Cora is still a difference maker in the dugout. He's proven that this season by mixing and matching, making do, and maximizing a Red Sox roster that looks ticketed to return the franchise to the postseason for the first time since 2021. He deserves more credit for the Red Sox revival and serious consideration for American League Manager of the Year. Who else had arguably his best hitter traded mid-season and maneuvered his club into playoff position? Would you go that far?
And I would also say he's the biggest reason they signed Alex Bregman too, right? Remember the reports Breslow didn't want to, Cora did. So I'll give him credit for that. And look, my issue here, it's kind of an organizational thing when they have so many young players come up that can't run the bases and can't field properly. But then you notice sometimes, Mego, it takes them a little too long to get better at that under Cora. Like, and I understand if Cora is here and a rookie comes up and sucks in the field, that's not his fault. But sometimes it's guys that have been here 2 or 3 years still making base running mistakes, still making fielding. Like, that's what frustrates me. I do think Cora's great with the guys in the clubhouse and the personalities and all that. I think he knows what it takes to win. Again, as I said, he drove the Bregman signing. It's just some of the little things I feel like get left by the wayside. Like, I think Cora is
once again, base running.
I think
we've been talking about this
night,
for years. Right.
And I think Cora is what a manager you want of a veteran team, like 2018, filled with vets. They know what's going on. Even 2021, filled with vets. They know what's going on. With younger players, it feels like it's not as effective. Like, I'm not telling you he sucks, but it's not as effective because, again, like, who their best two young players overall to me are Willie Abreu and Carlos Narvaez. And you can put Anthony in there, too.
I was going to say.
Right?
But, I would put Anthony in there.
And those two guys have been here all year. Bayo this year has been. But point being, two out of those three guys were developed outside the Red Sox organization. So, again, I don't put that piece of it on Cora. It's just frustrating sometimes when these guys get here and then these mistakes kind of, they keep happening. And the moving around Rafaela all over the, like, center field to second base, back to center field, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, my feeling is if we're going to give Cora, like, the benefit, if we're
like,
going to reward
he's a
him
good
with all
manager,
this?
I don't know if he's this guy that gives you six more wins a year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, there's not a war stat for managers, but, like, I don't know. I'm not like, oh, this guy's the best manager in base. Like,
but
I think
in the same
good.
Idea of, like, a war stat for managers, okay, what about the reverse? Because I do think what we're dancing around is when we say, like, he's an impact guy for the Red Sox, that can go in the other direction, too. I'm not saying that it does more often than not, but I do think that sometimes they lose because of Cora. And if we're going to say that he's a difference maker in the dugout, it goes two ways. You can say he's a difference maker. He's obviously great with the clubhouse, even though earlier in this season, the clubhouse got to a weird point, mostly because of how Devers and the front office dealt with each other, but it was still weird. Overall, Alex Cora, big difference maker in how he handles the clubhouse, the personalities. He's a player's coach. He understands how to empathize with these guys. At the same time, once again, we're talking about base running last night for like the umpteenth time through the last 3 years. So I attribute some of those things to Cora as well. If you're going to say he's a difference maker, it goes both ways to me.
Yeah, and it's that situational stuff, right? We said how much better they've been with average and runners in scoring position the last couple months, but their last 28 at-bats have not been nearly as good. And it's that, it's situational pitching, the bullpen. And you again, we can go back to Sunday not wanting to use Chapman, which I think is more maybe a front office thing than him, but they add up over to, and if again, if it's 4 or 5 games a year, even that could be the difference between winning the AL East and being a wild card or being a wild card and not making it.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.